We are learning today the first sicha of Parshas Vayera in Chelek Yud of Lekutei Sichas. And as we've done in the past, in the Shiurim, not only taught what the Rebbe says in the sicha, but also talked a little about the uniqueness of the Rebbe's style, the uniqueness of the Rebbe's Torah. One of the things that is a signature idea of the Rebbe, something the Rebbe talks about a lot, very often, is the importance of and the significance of names. A name is very significant, and this is something which is understanding according to Chassidus, which is not necessarily shared by the rest of the world, because the way the world looks at it, the name of any given entity is random. The fact that a table is called a table and a chair is called a chair, and not vice versa, doesn't really carry any significance to it. The fact that a person has a particular name, so that's the name that the parents happen to choose. So the child's name is Avram, because it so happens that this child had a great-grandfather whose name was Avraham. Had the child's great-grandfather been, his name was Menashe, the child's name would have been Menashe. There is no real inherent connection between the name of something and that which has that name. But we know that in Chassidus we have a different understanding of this, and that is that words are very, very powerful. The reason why words are powerful is because the entire world was created through words. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us that Ba'asara Ma'amaris Nivra Olam, the whole world was created through the words of Hashem. And as the Alter Rebbe explains in Shaar Yichud V'Amunah, that means that the creative energies with which Hashem created the world, for whatever reason Hashem decided that there are 22 different creative energies. And every single letter of the Aleph Beis contains one of those creative energies. A word is a combination of those energies. A combination of those energies, and the way it works is that the first letter is the most powerful energy, and the second letter is the second most powerful energy, and the third letter is third dominant, etc., etc. And when you string together a bunch of different letters, so the energy that emerges from the combination of all those letters, which is that word, is an entirely new energy, and that is the energy that gives life to that given object. So a kise, a chair, is its life force. The godly energy that's in it, which is causing it to exist, is contained in the three letters of Chaf, Samach, and Aleph. And the same thing is with people. The energy, the unique energy of a given person, is found within the letters of the name and the combination of the letters that comprise and make up the word, which is the person's name. Now, once we understand that, we realize that to understand the essence of anything, really, you look at the name. The name will tell you the nature, the essential nature of that object, which is why the Rebbe very often spoke about the significance of the name of a given entity. And moving it forward, the Rebbe also spoke a lot about the names of Parshias and the significance, because again, the name of the Parsha carries within it the energy of the entire Parsha. And therefore, there are many, many sichas. This is not something the Rebbe spoke about once or twice. This was something which was a very common practice by the Rebbe, that the Rebbe would take the name of a parsha and discuss how the entire parsha is encapsulated and contained within that particular name. Many, many such sichas. Again, we don't find, I don't believe we find that kind of attention to names by any other of the Gedolei Yisrael other than the Rebbe. But the Rebbe is really zooming in on the essence of something which is to be found in the name. So that's point number one. Another idea is we know that the Torah is divided into 53 parshias. And here also it can be argued that the division of parshias is somewhat arbitrary. The reason why it's divided into 53 is because we need to read the Torah over the course of an entire year. So for practical reasons, the Torah had to be divided into segments. But by the Rebbe, there's no such thing as coincidence, there's no such thing as it happened to be, and it was out of necessity, but everything contains significance. So every single parsha, the Rebbe views as a single unit, which contains one particular message, which carries over throughout the entire parsha. 53 parshias means 53 very unique messages. And the message of every single parsha is contained and alluded to and contained within the name of that parsha. Now, Sefer Bereshis, in the words of Chazal, is called Sefer HaYashar. And the reason why it's called Sefer HaYashar, which is the book of the upright, the Gemara tells us in Masechtas Avodah Zarah, is because it is the Sefer that describes the life of the Yesharim, of the upright ones, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. So the majority of Chumash Bereishis is devoted to telling us the stories of our Avis, the forefathers. Amongst the Parshiyos of Bereishis, there are two Parshiyos that are dedicated to Avraham Avinu. And they are last week's Parsha, which was Lech Lecha, and this week's Parsha, which is Vayera. Yeah, Avram is nominally discussed in the end of Parshas Noach, but obviously you can't say the Parsha of Noach is about Avram. And then also, if you move on to the next Parsha, Chayisara, Avram is discussed there also, but that's already a transition Parsha, because most of the focus of that Parsha is already on Yitzchak. So the two Parshias that are devoted to talking about Avram Avinu are Lech Lecha and Vayera. Now, the way the Rebbe looks at this, if there are two Parshias, that means there are two chapters in the life of Avraham, and obviously each one is a chapter, not only chronologically, not only the one follows the other, but each one is telling us something different about Avraham Avinu. There is stage one in Avraham Avinu's life, which is Parshas Lech Lecha, and stage two of Avraham Avinu's life, which is Parshas Vayera. And obviously, as explained, these two stages have to be understood simply by looking at their name, because the names of the Parshias tell us about what these two stages in Avraham's life are all about. Now, what is the simple difference between last week's Parsha Lech Lecha and this week's Parsha Vayera? So the transition is Avraham's Bris Milah. At the end of last week's Parsha, the last words of the Parsha, the last section of the Parsha, talk about Avraham Avinu getting his Bris Milah, which means that last week's Parsha was all about Avraham's life pre-circumcision. And this week's Parsha begins with Vayera Elav Avraham. Hashem reveals himself to Avram, and this is already 3 days after the Bris Milah. So the Avram's life in this week's Parsha is Avram's life post-Milah, post-circumcision. In fact, it's interesting that the Zohar says, the Rebbe cites the Zohar, that it says, the Zohar tells us that in last week's Parsha, in Parsha's Lech Lecha, when Hashem reveals himself to Avram, the wording used in the Parsha is, Hoya Dvar Hashem El Avram B'machze, which means that the word of Hashem came to Avram B'machze, which means in a vision. And this week we have Vayera Elav Hashem, that Hashem revealed himself to Avraham Avinu. The word machze is an Aramaic word, comes from the word chizoyin, which is an Aramaic word. Vayera is a Hebrew word, and we know that Lashon HaKodesh is a higher language than the Aramaic. So the revelation, which is described, Vayera, is a higher sort of revelation than the revelation which is B'machaza, which we have in last week's Parsha. So this week's Parsha, we have a higher revelation of Hashem than in last week's Parsha. And why is that? So the Zohar says that it is known that Malachim, for whatever reason, don't understand Aramaic. Malachim understand Lashon HaKodesh, they understand Hebrew. Malachim don't understand Aramaic. So in last week's Parsha, Hashem spoke to Avram in Aramaic, and that's why it's called a machaza, which is an Aramaic word. Why did Hashem speak to Avram in Aramaic? So the Malachim shouldn't understand. Because had the Malachim understood that Hashem is talking to Avram Avinu, they would have gotten upset and they would have said to Hashem, why are you talking to this man? He didn't even have a bris milah yet. So therefore, Hashem spoke to Avram in Aramaic, so the Malachim shouldn't understand. In this week's Parsha, Hashem speaks to Avram already in Lashon HaKodesh, in the Holy Tongue, because Avram already had the Bris Milah, so there's no worries from the Malachim. Now, something which we may have pointed out in the past is that there are many cute Mamari Chazal, cute sayings of our sages. You hear them, and you smile, they sound nice, and most people, that's what they do. They listen to them, they hear them, they sound nice, they repeat them. But when you scrutinize them a little, sometimes they're a little perplexing. And the Rebbe had this annoying habit of scrutinizing these Mamari Chazal and saying, hold on, wait 1 second, let's make sense out of this. You're telling me that before the Bris Milah, the reason why Hashem had to speak to Avram in Aramaic is because the Malachim would have made some noise. 1 second, were the Malachim, was their complaint correct or was it incorrect? If it was correct that Avram didn't deserve to have this higher level of prophecy before he had the Bris Milah, so why do you have to say that the reason why that Hashem spoke to Avraham in Aramaic was because of the Malachim, because of the angels. Should have said, because he wasn't worthy of that level, because he didn't yet have the Bris Milah. And if the Malachim are wrong, and Avraham, for whatever reason, was worthy of that higher level of Nevuah, so the fact that the Malachim are going to have a complaint, they're going to hold a grudge, why is that relevant? Hashem will figure out some way to make the Malachim happy, or he won't make them happy. What's it make a difference? Again, the relevant question over here is Avraham worthy of that or not? What is the jealousy? How is the jealousy of the Malachim in any way relevant to what's going on over here? This is like the Rebbe's style of taking a Maimer Chazal, and after the question is asked, you're like, yeah, that's a great question. But why did no one ask it beforehand? Because again, the way the Rebbe looks at every single Maimer Chazal, with the precision and the exactness, and how everything has to make sense, I think that itself is a novel approach, as opposed to these mysterious esoteric Mamari Chazal, that people would just take them at face value without questioning too much. But the Rebbe always questions, and obviously, with the Rebbe's answer, we have an entirely new understanding of these Mamari Chazal. So where are we? So let's recap over here. What we've discussed up until this point is that we have two chapters in Avram's life, Lech Lecha and Vayera, pre-Mila and post-Mila. And pre-Mila, Hashem's revealed to Avram Avinu on a lower level, Machaza, Aramaic. Post-Mila, Hashem revealed himself to Avram, Lashon HaKodesh, Vayera. But what is the difference between pre-Mila and post-Mila? Why is the circumcision such a big deal anyways? After all, Avram was a very holy and righteous person also before he got his bris. Avram was 99 years old when he circumcised himself, at which point Avram Avinu was a highly accomplished person with much on his spiritual resume. He had served Hashem dutifully for many years. Why is the bris milah that turning point in Avram's life? So the Rebbe explains in this sikha as well as in many other sikhas, that Mila, circumcision, was the first mitzvah that Avram did as a result of a commandment of Hashem. Hashem asked him to do it. All the other mitzvahs that Avram Avinu did, and Avram did many other mitzvahs, Chazal tell us that Avram even fulfilled the mitzvahs which are derabanan. He even made an Erev Tavshilin, an Erev Yom Tov. But all the other mitzvahs that he did them as a volunteer. They were optional. There was no expectation that he would do them. He was not obligated to do them because the Torah had not yet been given. But Avram, because he was a holy person, he wanted to do the mitzvahs. The first mitzvah in which Hashem comes to Avram and says, I want you to do this, is the mitzvah of Bris Milah. And that's a game changer. Because ultimately, in terms of a person wanting to become a spiritual person, we know that when Hashem created all of creation, in order to do so, Hashem had to contract his light. And in a process that's called Tzimtzumim. And ultimately, the light diminished and diminished and contracted to the point that there was an energy, which was a finite, limited energy, which the world would be able to contain without being vaporized, without vanishing into thin air. You know, if the full magnitude of the divine energy would be revealed in this world, that would be like plugging a toaster direct into a nuclear power plant, okay? What would happen to that toaster? That's what would happen to this world. There had to be a very limited amount of light and energy coming into this world. Now, at its source, Hashem himself, to him, he is infinite. And the actions of human beings and whatever happens in this world is really irrelevant. It makes no difference to him. We are absolutely inconsequential to him. You know, think about the trillions of bacteria that you have in your body. Imagine, you know, one of those bacteria that you have in your little toe. And how inconsequential that is to us. Our inconsequentialness to Hashem is much greater than that. Because ultimately, we're an organism. The bacteria is an organism. We're a little more complex than the bacteria. But ultimately, we're both finite. Here today, gone tomorrow. Hashem is infinite. Our actions don't impact Hashem. However, what our actions can impact are the lower levels of godliness that have been contracted and constricted. And because the light itself becomes, at a certain point, becomes finite light, that light which enters our world. So the finite light, to that, on that level, the world actually has some sort of significance. So the actions of human beings can only impact the divine, Hashem, on that level where what we call in Chassidus, Mimali Kalalman, the lower level of light, which is already primed to create the world. But Hashem himself, or what we call the higher light, the encompassing light of Hashem, isn't moved or touched by our actions, by our behaviors. That is up until the point when Hashem commands us to do something, when Hashem gives us a mitzvah. When Hashem gives us a mitzvah and we do it, then we connect to Hashem himself. Why? The word mitzvah means a tzavsa, the word mitzvah means a connection. When we are following Hashem's commandment by virtue of the fact that we're doing what He told us to do, that itself creates a connection. And as Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, this is alluded to in the bracha that we make before we do a mitzvah. We say, Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvayisav, He who has sanctified us with His commandments. The word kiddushanu means that God lifts us up to the level of kodesh ha'elyon. He lifts us up to the level which is completely holy, completely separated and beyond the world. We get lifted up beyond the restrictions of the limitations of who we are. And that takes us to the next level. We become absolutely one with Hashem, which is also alluded to in Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvayisav, that the word Kiddushanu is related to the word Kiddushin, which is marriage. And just like husband and wife unite and become one being, when we do a mitzvah, we become one with Hashem. We become as holy as Hashem and absolutely one with Hashem. I know that sounds crazy. That sounds remarkable. And we couldn't say this on our own. But this is what the Torah tells us. This is what's accomplished through a mitzvah. So Avraham Avinu, despite all of his spiritual accomplishments in his first 99 years of his life, he was only able to touch and impact and relate to the level of the divine, which is what we call Shayich La'olamos, which has a connection to this world. With the mitzvah of Milah, now we enter chapter 2 of Avram's life, the Parsha of Vayera. And over here, Avram already has reached the level of Kodesh HaElyon, of the ultimate holiness, and has become absolutely one with Hashem. And that's why Avram Avinu's life story is divided into these two Parshias, because you can't compare stage 1 and chapter 1 to stage 2 and chapter 2. And this is reflected in the difference between Machazah and Vayera. Earlier we mentioned that the word Machazah is Aramaic and Vayera is in Lashon HaKodesh. The Alter Rebbe, in Torah Oyer, the Alter Rebbe explains that the difference between Aramaic or any language and Lashon HaKodesh is comparable to the difference between a stone and a brick. A stone is made by heaven. A brick is made by man. Lashon HaKodesh, we know words in general are considered building blocks because a word is a stone and a sentence is a layer of stones and a paragraph is already a wall. And then you have a chapter is a house and a book is a city. In other words, every word is a component. However, there are different kinds of building material. There are stones and there are bricks. Lashon HaKodesh is called stones because Lashon HaKodesh is a language which is created by Hashem. So every word is a stone. As opposed to all other languages, the words are like bricks. They're human-made, just like bricks are made by human beings. So those are the two differences between the word machazah. Another difference between machazah and vayera is that Machazah, besides for the fact that it's Aramaic, Machazah refers to seeing something in an imprecise way. In fact, when Hashem was talking to Aaron and Miriam after they besmirched Moshe Rabbeinu, He says, to you guys, I talk b'machazah. Machazah, which means it's in a vision, but it's somewhat of a clouded vision. As opposed to Re'iyah, seeing something is seeing the thing as it really is. So, the two levels of Avraham Avinu, the level of the first Parsha and the level of the second Parsha, are actually very well represented by this idea of Machzeh and Re'iyah, which is, you'd say, brick versus stone. In the first parsha last week, Lech Lecha, so then Avraham's work was like a brick. It was Aramaic, not Hebrew. Why? What is a brick? It was human endeavor. In this week's parsha, we move on to Avraham, instead of human endeavor, him doing mitzvahs and connecting to the divine. And therefore, Avram's experience of Hashem and his relationship with Hashem in last week's parsha was cloudy and murky. Machzeh. In this week's parsha, in Vayera, in chapter 2, Avram has a clear perception and experience of Hashem. Why? Because Avram has done a mitzvah and thereby totally connected himself to Hashem. And now we understand what the Zohar was saying about the Malachim. The ability to do a mitzvah is something which is only a Yid can do. Malachim might be very, very holy, but they can't do mitzvahs. Had Hashem revealed himself to Avraham Avinu fully before the Bris Milah, the Malachim would have come to Hashem and said, hello, he hasn't done any mitzvahs. We haven't done any mitzvahs. How is he greater than us? And they would have been right. And therefore, Hashem had to reveal himself to Avraham in a machzeh, on a lower level. Once Avraham Avinu had the Bris Milah, now even the Malachim acknowledge and understand that a Yid who has done a mitzvah was on a much higher level than a Malach. And therefore, a Yid who does a mitzvah is zoicha, is worthy of the of Vayerei Lov Hashem in Lashon HaKodesh, something which even a Malach isn't worthy of. So now we understand what the whole story with the Malachim was. Before the Milah, the Malachim would say, hey, you're just like us. We don't get Vayera, you shouldn't get Vayera. And they're right, and that's why Avraham Take got the lower level of revelation. After the Milah, that changed the entire story. How is this alluded to in the names Lech Lecha and Vayera? Okay, so Vayera we already understand. The revelation of Hashem in its essence only comes after a mitzvah, comes through Bris Milah. But how about Lech Lecha? Well, look at the words Lech Lecha. What does the word Lech Lecha mean? Lech, go, Lecha, to you. Lech Lecha, in stage number one, before the mitzvah, the person is reaching higher and higher and higher, but all of that, Lecha, within your own potential. Hashem is telling Avram, reach higher and higher until you reach the very maximum of who you can be. Lech Lecha, go to yourself. You know, how many of us don't maximize ourselves? Human ability, human potential is very great. And that was stage one, chapter one of Avram's work, was Avram reaching higher and higher, but all lech, going lecha, within himself. And then after the Bris Milah, then we have Vayera. Then we have Avram experiencing not only that which he is able to experience by virtue of climbing higher and higher with his own power, but rather Vayera, the revelation of Hashem, which is the result of doing a mitzvah, which is when you become absolutely connected to Hashem and you can experience Hashem himself. And to conclude with a story that the Rebbe said many, many times, it appears in Hayom Yom. Chaf Cheshvan is the birthday of the Rebbe Rashab. And this year, Chaf Cheshvan is on Shabbos Parshas Vayera. And this year also is a special year. This year is 160 years since the birth of the Rebbe Rashab. The Rebbe Rashab was born in the year Tafresh Chaf Aleph, which is 1861. And this year it'll be 160 years since the birth of the Rebbe Rashab. And the story is told, and again, the Rebbe said the story many times about how the Rebbe Rashab, when he was a young child, 5 or 6 years old, he once went in, before his birthday, he went into Yechidus to his grandfather, the Tzemach Tzedek, the third Rebbe of Lubavitch. And he went into Yechidus, and he started crying. And his grandfather, the Rebbe, asked him, why are you crying? And he said, because this week I learned the Parsha. And the Parsha says, Vayera Elav Hashem, that Hashem revealed himself to Avraham Avinu. And why is it that Hashem revealed himself to Avraham, and to me, he doesn't reveal himself? This was, again, a child of 5 years old is crying that Hashem doesn't reveal himself to him as Hashem revealed himself to Avraham Avinu. And the Tzemach Tzedek answered, he says that when a Yid who was 99 years old realizes that he still hasn't finished his work and he still has to circumcise himself, he still has to have a Bris Milah, he is worthy of Hashem revealing himself to him. And that really brings out the point of the Sicha, the idea that we have to realize that when you reach the apex of human achievement, you're 99 years old and you've accomplished so much, you're like Avraham Avinu, you have to realize there's still such a huge hurdle. When you do a mitzvah, you're attaining something else entirely. Your level of bittul Hashem, your connection to Hashem, your nullification to Hashem is in an entirely new level, and at that point you experience the vayera. And we have to know also, as much as we do, we always have to look to do more, and more specifically, not only to do more, but to do more mitzvahs, and thereby to connect ourselves to Hashem in a way in which we also will be zeicha to have vayera lav Hashem, experience that in our own lives too.